The pro-Hamas pro-terrorist protests, riots, whatever you want to call them, in Columbia University, and the fact that the university hasn't acted against them, has refused to let the police do their job and act against them, has inspired terrorists, terrorist wannabes, terrorist sympathizers all over the US and the world, to start doing similar activities in universities. Again, as we've said, I'm sure some of them are students. I'm sure some of them are not students. We'll see that some of them are not students in this episode. But Emory University in Atlanta, there things didn't go quite as they went in Columbia. And apparently this surprised the local terrorist sympathizers. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 203 of the war in Israel. So we're still on this topic because it is very much a hot topic that is developing, and there is new stuff coming out every day. And of course, with this stuff, there is also video, and we will go. We have a few videos from what happened in Emory. I think the first one is the one that I personally found most significant, and I'll explain why after we watch it.
Wanna play it right away?
Yeah, sure, why not? Sorry about the size of the video there, Daniel. If we can maybe share a link so that people can watch it from one of the tweets. Of course, it'll come with commentary that we won't necessarily agree with. But yeah, it's important to see what goes on there exactly. I thought this is probably, I would say, of everything we've seen in the past week, my favorite moment in terms of how we see exactly who these people are, who they think they are, how they think they should be treated. It's this is priceless. It's better than the Earth Day dance that we showed yesterday. So you see somebody being arrested there on the grass, and this university professor, this is Caroline Folin, Emory economics professor, goes over. Questions what the officers are doing, goes closer, leans in. Now, who she is, what she's doing there, this is not stuff that you know in advance as a police officer. What you know is that there are people causing trouble, people who should be arrested are being arrested, and somebody is there very clearly interfering with the arrest. So the cop, stands up, pushes her away, tells her repeatedly to get on the grass and to get on the ground. And she doesn't, repeatedly. And then he takes her down, which is the right thing to do. Again, you don't know who this is. You don't know if she's armed. You don't know what she's planning to do. He takes her down. He calls for cuffs. Somebody helps, comes over. Another police officer helps cuff her. Then She's first she's shrieking and making all these noises. That didn't work. So then she says, "I'm a professor. I'm a professor." I'm thinking, these people are so entitled and so disconnected from reality in their university safe space for craziness that they live in, that she thinks doing, committing, actually interfering with police work, which is arrestable, or certainly she needs to be removed from the situation, saying I'm a professor then makes it okay, makes it something that you can get away with. At the end, you hear her say, "I reacted impulsively," and she's apologizing and trying to get the handcuffs off of her. But yeah, no, you are not above the law, even if you are a professor in a university. I know this is breaking news for some people, but we are here to tell the hard truths. Daniel, we've been on for 6 minutes and you haven't said a word yet. So what are your thoughts on what we saw in Emory?
I mean, yeah, in the I'm gonna talk first a bit more broadly. You know, there's such a demonization of police right now. I mean, even in the video they call them fascist for, you know, arresting people who are trying to, and I don't know much about this protest specifically. I'm not sure if they are allowed to be there, like by the university, or if this is like Colombia where they just pretty much occupy university land. But let's say it's a, you know, peaceful protest. Once something starts getting out of control, you want police there. I mean, even if you are, you know, some, you know, peaceful protester, you want the police to be there, be on your side to make sure it stays peaceful. And, you know, so we had this one protester getting arrested, and I tried reading up on how exactly does it work when, you know, police is arresting someone, what you're allowed. So we've seen it even in the video. You are allowed to record, you are allowed to, you know, look, I think even yell to some extent at them, but you cannot interfere directly. And we've seen she came really close, she was given several chances, and she was kept interfering. And yet, once you start interfering with an arrest, that gives the police a warrant basically to arrest you too. And I think what we've also seen is, you know, police actually doing their jobs in these cases actually works. She became very apologetic towards the end. Oh, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I knew I got, I'm not sure what exactly this is, like emotional or you know, tempted or something like that. So, you know, once police starts doing their job, it works. If only the police at Colombia would learn the same thing. What do you want? I have a couple more, again, broader things,
Yeah.
but.
I mean, so first of all, I overreacted, all that stuff. Tell it to the judge. You've already done what is an arrestable offense, and the police are doing their job. Yeah, the guy filming or somebody around the guy filming said, "You're fascist, you're Hitler." These people love throwing these words around. Hitler was a guy who tried to exterminate the Jews. You're there protesting in favor of people who are trying to exterminate the Jews. I mean, I'm not saying the guy shouting it is actually Hitler. Hitler was evil and actually managed to commit evil on a large scale. You're an entitled prick in a university shouting at police officers. In fascism, in fascism, if there's a protest that the police wants to deal with, these people could all be dead. It's not, that's not fascism. There's a lot you can get away with, unfortunately, fortunately, but also unfortunately, in some cases, in free countries. One thing you can't always get away with? Crimes. Sometimes you actually get arrested for them, and that's a good thing. Anything else, Daniel, before
Yeah, I
the
think, I mean, this is something we'll talk about more on the reality show, but there is a certain problem with the idea that people have in their heads that basically they have this sort of like infinite right to protest. Like, yeah, you have right to protest, but as all these sort of derivative rights, they are all contextual. A right to protest doesn't mean you can come and, you know, let's say you wanna protest ARC UK, it doesn't mean you can come in my chair and like not allow me to sit in. That's my property. You cannot take away someone else's property as a right to protest. But again, that's just a small teaser for what's gonna be on the reality show.
Yeah, thank you, GG Ryder, for the super chat. GG Ryder says, early beginnings of Nazi Party was with the KPD and Antifa in Germany. They were comrades. History have sanitized facts, and some historians have sanitized facts and some common ideology. I don't know about Antifa back then, but I do know Antifa today is very much the tactics that they use. And the tactics that these people use, I always struggle to see the difference between them and when white supremacists protest, not just in terms of how they do it, but in terms of what they're saying. Now, with the current issue, they are absolutely on the same side, the side that is for the extermination of the Jews. And it's good to see that in some places, they can't get away with it as easily as they can in others. The fact that they can in Colombia is the reason why it's spread elsewhere rather than ended there. We're going to talk about some of those other places, and we're going to try to get some students from some of the universities where this is happening for future episodes. We're going to keep covering it. Somebody, I missed this who it was, but somebody in the chat says, "I'm tired of these protests." We all are. We are going to keep covering them because it's important, and it's a good indicator of why of what we were saying when we said, look, we're going to cover this issue as the only topic on the channel for a while, because it is something that the fact that the attack happened on October 7th and the fact that it inspired so many people to double down and support that kind of stuff within the West is the clearest indicator of how bad things are and in which direction we're actually headed and how bad it is. And I think it's important for us to stay on top of it. The other side is not giving up, and neither should we. Daniel, any other thoughts before we go to the
Yeah, someone in the chat was asking like why was the arrest prompted? And something I actually wanted to bring up is, when you analyze this situation, it's very easy to analyze them, afterhand. She was no danger. There was no danger coming from that. There wouldn't be any problem if they let her go. But the thing is, in the moment, these policemen have no idea what she's capable of. I mean, they are focusing on arresting someone and they see someone, trying to barge in. They don't know what's gonna happen. So, that's why you should never try to interfere, with what police is doing. Unless, you are heading for a civil war or something like that. As long as you believe you live in a civilized society, even if there is an unjust arrest, you can take. You can take a recourse action after the fact with the judge. You can fire the policeman if the arrest was actually unjustifiable. But you don't do it live while it's happening. That's, the quickest way you have to violence erupting for no reason.
GG Ryder follows up on his super chat saying, "Hope that was intelligible." There's photos, there's public statements from KPD and Antifascist Action praising Hitler and Goebbels thanking Marx. I just didn't know that part of the history, but it makes perfect sense. And it was the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany. It's not a surprise that socialists, like other socialists, and have a shared hatred for Jews. And of course, we've heard in many of those places how people, sided with some sort of revolution, and then when they saw the result, they're like, oops, that's not exactly what we meant. But yeah, it is on you if you are a part of it. What else did I? Enric said it would be good to know how this is organized and coordinated across the country. We touched on that a little bit yesterday, and I'm gonna actually follow up on that a little bit, but let's play the next clip, and maybe then I can also look at.
Do you want to play the automatic weapons one?
Sure.
back up.
Back out! Back out! Back out!
Cut the ball into the party.
Back up!
We're with CNN. We're with CNN.
Bro, go that way.
We're with
Move.
CNN.
Move.
We're with
Move
CNN.
That way.
Yeah, obviously, this is not an ARCUK caption on that video saying automatic weapons were used. Yeah, you see officers with weapons. You hear some firing of tear gas. And you see people resisting arrest and then being arrested nonetheless. So, in a free country, you can also, get to a point where the police have to use force against you. That is what the police is there for. If you are using force or a danger to civilians, the police is there to prevent you from being the nuisance that you would like to be. That is a welcome thing, I would say.
Yeah, something that super scares me about the American society right now is, and I'm gonna both side this, both sides are kinda undermining basically the whole system. I'll just quickly say, when it comes to rights, specifically with the election, once you cannot believe in elections, or specifically courts, which they often talk about it too, it becomes very problematic because once, you think you have no legal course of actions, what else do you have? Force. And you see the same thing on the left. The complete undermining of police, basically, calling them fascists, calling them Hitler, completely undermining their authority, completely saying that they are here just to oppress, that there's no, normal course of action. Again, what this makes, if that's not, well, if it's true, then yeah, revolution is what you need. But what I actually believe it's not true, then you have a group of people that believe, basically that that the only way they can be heard is with violence. And for example, on this, you see, if police like has a reason to arrest you, I mean, fighting against that is not gonna bring you much fruit. Unless you believe that, force is the way to go now in this society. But if you still believe there is a, legal course of action, just always, you can always fight against the system through the means that the system sets up, such as courts, such as voting. But, once we get, and that's what really scares me about, police not jumping in, and then the other side trying to call National Guard. I mean, once the situation escalates to that point, we do have a small civil war on our hands. That's why the systems in place are important. That's why when both sides try to undermine the whole system, violence starts.
Yeah. If you don't think you should be arrested, still don't fight the arrest and then fight it later on in court. Again, if you are living in a semi-free country that you think there is still hope for, rather than in a totalitarian regime, the irony is so many of these people are fighting for the type of police state in which they are likely not to get arrested. If they protest, they will just get shot. So anyway, thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. Thank you, Jeff, for the super chat. So to address Enric's point yesterday, I want to go back to Eitan Fischberger's tweet from, Enric's point earlier, Eitan Fischberger's tweet that I read some of yesterday. And this is from this guide titled First We Take Colombia: Lessons from the April 1968 Occupations Movement. Eitan mentioned that this was distributed, endorsed by the National Students for Justice in Palestine organization. I believe this has been this organization has been banned by some universities. This is for it was published for the so-called liberated encampment zones. I read some of the points that Eitan mentioned in his tweet. I'm going to read a couple of the others. So point 11, this is only the beginning. A number of revolutionary organizations emerged from the 1968 occupations movement. Pushing the university struggle to its limit might contribute in a similar way to producing a constellation of revolutionary forces in the city today. So, they're saying very clearly, and they said in the previous points that in 1968 the police were afraid to cause trouble, so they stood down. And they're saying, the more violent we are, the more likely the police is to stand down. And they're then saying we can, cause more trouble across the city. These are people who want nothing but to disrupt the lives of peaceful, innocent civilians. And point 12 is the point that follows is interesting. Two, three, many Colombias. Then, as now, it will take the opening of new fronts and the spread of increasingly disruptive tactics, such as building occupations, to pull the emergency brake on the war machine. So they're saying they want to occupy buildings, but the interesting thing is that they say they want to put the brakes on the war machine. This is interesting wording. It would sound like these people are against war, whereas, of course, they are very much not against war, and you can hear it in their chants calling for rockets supporting Hamas. They're not against war. It's important to
They
know
are
who these
literally
people are.
calling for another intifada.
Yeah, they are very much pro-war. The war machine that they're against is anything that allows semi-free countries to protect their civilians from October 7th happening again and again, as Hamas, who feature in their chants, have declared that they will continue to do. So war is the consequence of the ideas of these people being put into practice, and war would be the consequence of not fighting back against these people as real enemies of Western civilization, of the United States of America. Thank you, Gail, for the super chat, Daniel.
So, I think I saw a comment that was interesting. So someone in the chat says that only works if the system isn't corrupted. I think referring to me, taking the right course of action. Well, the thing is, you either have a civilized society with, proper systems in place, or you don't. And I believe in these two extremes. So either you have a belief in police, have a belief in courts, in your government. No, and I don't mean that specifically you agree, but that you believe in the systems themselves that are set in place, that you can achieve justice. Either you can do that or you can't. And once you can't, revolution is the only way forward. There is no, we do a little bit of protesting. No, once you are living under tyranny, the actual revolution is the only way to go forward. There is no, there is no compromise between these two. So that's why I think it's really important to, call out these people when they are trying to undermine the whole system, because they are leading the world towards revolution. I mean, just look at the way they are talking about it. Yeah, like stopping the war machine. To me, it almost sounded like they are going to occupy what you call it, the US Congress. Like, yeah, it's what's happening right now, it's crazy. And the fact that, one, the universities are not doing anything to stop this, and two, that the police is also not doing anything to stop this, it's scary.
All right, should we play the last clip? We only have a few minutes left, but I don't think we have too much to say about this. So it speaks for itself.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do for you right now?
Fill up philosophy department?
Yes. Call the philosophy department office.
I will, I will. What's your...
I'm chair of the philosophy department.
I got you. I got you.
I mean, here I want to jump in. Like, does this look like tyranny? You know, police arresting someone, slowly dragging them and allowing them to stop to like talk to someone. Does this look like a tyranny state? Like, come on. Like, I'm someone who... You know, I live in Slovakia, which used to be an actual communist regime about 35 years ago. So I still, like, my parents live under communism, and I know many people who talked about this. This was not the way it worked. It wasn't that you were allowed, like, any sort of dissidence, especially after the Prague Spring, any sort of, like, you know, trying to, you know, even just listening to Western media, Western radios, or any sort of dissidence was like brutally suppressed. And to equate, you know, what we saw on this video with anything that, you know, I heard from people talk about, I mean, I don't know what to even say about that. Like,
yeah, I mean, the only thing I had to say, and Rick already touched on in the chat, yeah, she's the head of the philosophy department. That's all you need to know. These are the philosophers who, you know, who it's their ideas put into practice in these universities. I don't think she should get arrested for having or expressing those ideas. She should get arrested for, you know, disrupting the peace. But it's absolutely not a surprise, it's good to see that the professors are also arrested. By the way, we didn't see the moment of arrest. She seemed more cooperative than the economics professor. Thank you, Equal to Reality, who's been a member for 24 months. I didn't even realize it's been 2 years since we launched YouTube memberships. He has a James Lindsay quote. It goes, the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. Yeah, I think that's true of these people. And yeah, it's good that you brought up the Prague Spring. It's good to remember that in Iran, people are being killed in protests against tyranny. And in the West, people are screeching and crying out fascism and Hitler over being arrested for fighting for tyranny. And of course, they're not going to, you know, spend much time in prison. Kathleen, thank you for the super chat. Kathleen asks, do you think these types of scenes are likely to appear in the UK or elsewhere? So yeah, there's already one in France, right? One university where this is happening. And it's definitely spreading. And it's spreading in large part because, you know, these people are brave, you know, against a non-enemy. They know that nobody's going to stop them. Nobody's going to interfere. The people whose job it is to prevent them from doing what they're doing are afraid of doing their job, have orders not to do their job. So yes, it will spread, and hopefully it will be dealt with in the fashion in which it was dealt with in Emory, because that is the way to stop it. Thank you, Enric, for the super chat. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thanks, Daniel, for joining me. The reality show starts in a couple of minutes, and we will be talking about why there is no right to protest as such. If you are triggered by that, that's a good reason to join us, and let us know what you think in the comments. Thanks, and we'll see you in a couple of minutes.